Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this edition of the podcast, we talk about the Raiders winning in court and a Bear Bryant quarterback that made it into the College Football Hall of Fame but did not play for Alabama. It's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. For today, we are going to go into our May 7th football history headlines, and we're going to start off with our newspapers.com football history headline of the day, and it comes from the San Francisco Examiner on May 8th, 1982, and it said, Raiders look south for a fresh start. Of course, they were talking about the May 7th, 1982 Californian federal jury that ruled that the NFL violated antitrust laws in preventing the Oakland Raiders from moving to Los Angeles Coliseum. Yes, Al Davis, who owned the Raiders, wanted to move the franchise to Los Angeles from Oakland, but the league, spearheaded by Commissioner Pete Rozelle, wanted to keep them in Oakland. The federal jury was composed of six women, unanimously, who voted in favor of Mr. Davis, clearing the hurdles for the team's planned move to Los Angeles Coliseum. The Raiders called Los Angeles their home from 1982 all the way through the 1994 season, when they again returned to play in Oakland, when they stayed there until 2019. And we know, of course, last year, 2020, was their first year in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Raiders is still a little bit odd to say that, but that is indeed their home now. And if you want to be able to read through some of the old articles like I did today from the San Francisco Examiner, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you can get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating back to 1798. Imagine that, 1798, you can read a paper, all the way to the year 2021. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast as well as others on the Sports History Network. So that's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. Now let's go to some birthdays of our Hall of Famers for this May 7th. And our first one takes us to the year 1881 in Alpena, Michigan. The big tackle from Army teams of 1899 to 1902, Paul Bunker was born. The National Football Foundation lends the thought that when you are receiving high praise from an opponent, you know you truly have a great player. And Navy star back of the 1900 era, Ralph Strasburger, who also played defense, approached Bunker several years after when the two met up on the gridiron. And this time it was in the Philippines. And Bunker, Strasburg said, I hate you. Let's have a drink. And as you can see, back in 1902, Bunker had ended his playing career with that season's Army-Navy game, and he was running wild against the middies and leading the cadets to a 22-day victory. He scored two touchdowns on offense and spent much of the afternoon punishing Navy's star running back, which was Strasburger. Walter Camp described Bunker as a battering ram who outclassed all other backs and was a first-class defensive tackle. Bunker's one of just a handful of athletes to win All-America mention in two different positions. He won All-America honors as a tackle in 1901 and in 1902 at both halfback and tackle. You know, that era of the single platoon system where they played both ways in the whole game. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed a display in the honor of Paul Bunker in their legendary museum in 1969. And Bunker continued to be a hero off the field too, as he died for his country in 1943 as a prisoner of war in the Southern Pacific Theater. May 7th, 1896, Hamilton, New York. Belford West, the great Colgate University tackle of 1914 to 1916, and then again in 1919, arrived to celebrate his birth. The National Football Foundation lists that Belford led a dominant defense which elevated Colgate as one of the most feared teams of the era. In the 30 games West played for Colgate, 19 were shutout victories. He missed only one play in three varsity seasons at Colgate, and West was known as a model tackle in build and execution, blessed with quickness of foot and devastating in charge. An instinctive player, Belford had an exceptional range for his size and was said to pride himself in being at the right place at the right time. He is also a fine kicker and set a record with a 52-yard field goal against arch-rival Syracuse in 1919's game. He frequently elected to pass from his punt formation. As it was noted, he rarely threw incomplete. He could pass the ball up to 70 yards in the air. That's pretty good for someone that lists as basically a lineman and a defender. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed the display in the honor of Belford West into their legendary museum in 1954. May 7th, 1930, Rochester, Pennsylvania. Babe Parilli, the legendary University of Kentucky quarterback, was born. Parilli quarterbacked the Wildcats for Hall of Fame coach Bear Bryant from 1949 to 1951. And according to his bio on the footballfoundation.org website, Babe introduced Bear Bryant's T formation that baffled opponents and spectators alike, magically taking Kentucky into the national spotlight. On the field or in the stands, you simply lost sight of the football once Parilli had it in his magical Houdini hands. Defenders tackled backs, not carrying the ball, as Parilli miraculously seemed to repossess it and toss it in the hands that suddenly appeared from obscurity. In 1949-1950, Parilli directed teams that ran up 684 points against 115 opposition points. The Wildcats held 10 of 22 opponents scoreless, all but 3 to 7 points or less. In 1949, Parilli led Kentucky to a 9-3 record, including wins over LSU, Ole Miss, Georgia, and Florida. And in 1950, Parilli's junior year, the Wildcats produced the greatest season in school history, including an 11-1 campaign and the Southeastern Conference Championship. Parilli's senior season resulted in an 8-4 record, culminating his illustrious career with NCAA records at the time for career passing touchdowns of 50 and 331 completions and 4,351 passing yards, all records at the time. Babe Parilli was honored with induction to the College Football Hall of Fame in 1982 after the National Football Foundation tabulated up their votes. Parilli was selected in the first round of the NFL draft as a number 4 overall pick in 1952 by the Green Bay Packers, and he played professional football for 18 seasons, including 4 with the Pack, 3 with the Ottawa Rough Riders of the CFL, and 1 with the Cleveland Browns, 1 with the Oakland Raiders, and 7 with the Boston Patriots, and 2 final ones with the New York Jets, just for a good measure. And what a great long career that Babe Parilli had, and we've talked about him quite a bit, both in our Football by Numbers series with some of our guests and in our football history headlines. So, Babe Parilli, definitely a great name. May 7th, 1953, Villa Park, California. Harvard University's talented wide receiver from 1972 all the way through the 1974 season, Pat McAnally, arrived into this life. This player was a standout on the field, but also in the classroom, earning the prestigious NFF National Scholar Athlete Award and becoming a first-team All-American in 1974. The National Football Foundation states that Pat finished his career as the Crimson's single game, single season, and career record holder for touchdowns and receptions, and as the school's leader in career receiving yards. McAnally ranked second in the nation in receptions in 1973 and fourth in 1974, while also serving as Harvard's punter. The National Football Foundation selected Pat McAnally for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2016. Now, those are just some great, great players that have birthdays today. Hall of Fame players, all in the College Football Hall of Fame. And, that great history of the Oakland Raiders moving to Los Angeles and winning a lawsuit against the NFL and Pete Rozelle, that just sort of capped off that sort of that feud that Rozelle and Al Davis had going back to when the AFL was still in existence, when Al Davis was that commissioner of the AFL and sort of got in the craw of Pete Rozelle, and they were always sort of at odds a bit, but you know, I guess it got settled in court, and the people of Los Angeles got to enjoy the Raiders for about 13 seasons, and then Oakland got to enjoy them again for a couple decades before they went off to Las Vegas, where folks are enjoying them now. So some great history we had today for this May 7th. We're glad you could join us once again for this. Make sure you check out sportshistorynetwork.com for there's a whole bunch of great sports history podcasts there. You know, like I said, you know, Joe Ziemba, who's been on many of our programs, Joe Zagorski, Arnie Chapman, Dana Augustor, Jeremy McFarlane, Oz Davis, Aaron Harris, Dan and Andrew Newman, Warren Rogan, Arnie Chapman, so many more. You know, we have 20 great podcasters going on and 20 great podcasts. You need to just check out, because it is the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, sportshistorynetwork.com. Also, check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, for all your great football history, and use that powerful search box that's on that front page, powered by the URL to go Google extension, Chrome extension. Just a powerful engine there. Anything you have football-wise, any names or football terms you want to put in there, some search should come up that's either on Pigskin Dispatch or on one of our great Sports History Network affiliates that have web pages, and we'll find the answers for you right away there. And if not, please email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we will get the answers to you and make sure it gets in our search engine. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Arnie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.